This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. With me this morning, we've been doing so much legislative talk recently on the program, and that's going to continue today with State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora. We're going to be discussing the $54.4 billion two-year spending plan that Republicans have proposed and unveiled just recently. Good morning, Representative. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well and happy that you're here, and we're going to dig into this a little bit more, at least some of the main points that people are paying attention to in the budget cycle this year. First of all, I want to point out that Democrats and the governor, they've released their own visions for how the next two-year budget should look. How does your caucuses compare?
Yeah, I think first off, our caucus budget actually is balanced. So our revenues match the expenditures. Unlike the Democrats who pass out a spending plan, they pass out a revenue plan, but the two don't actually match. They're not reconciled. The governor's budget is, you know, a balanced budget. We are spending less than the governor. You know, bottom line is we believe that the economy is sort of getting soft. We need to make sure that we're protecting the integrity of our spending guardrails that we have put in place. And at the same time, we've got to address some of the critical shortages that we've seen in healthcare and education. And so we really focus on the priorities of programs as opposed to prioritizing government bureaucracy.
Electric rates. Now, there are numerous discussions happening about what to do with electric policy in Connecticut in the next decade or further out. But residents are also concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow, next month, right? So in the near term.
Right.
And we saw you standing alongside Democratic State Senator John Fonfara recently at his press conference in which he proposed an idea, a series of ideas, how to cut rates and electric bills in the state. And he was just on our show recently to discuss that plan in greater detail. Is there anything in the Republican budget that addresses rates in the near term for residents?
It is. That's a great question. And we mirror a lot of what Senator Fonfara was talking about. We stood with him at that press conference. We support a lot of the proposals in that plan. And so one of the areas that people have been quite upset about is our public benefits charge. Now that it's broken out on the bill, people could see the hidden taxes from government policies that are embedded in electric bills. And we're joining with Senator Fonfara to say these policies need to come out of people's electric bills because it's sort of anti-growth. It's hard for residents to pay these bills, but also it impacts the commercial industry because they pay a percentage of it. So some industries, especially manufacturing, saw their monthly electric bill increase by thousands of dollars. So our plan moves the social programs of, you know, paying for other people's electric bills. We don't believe that's a policy that should wind up in a bill. We think if the state is going to create a social program, it needs to be in the general fund and paid for with tax dollars. So we do move that plan off and we reform it, because right now, under PURA, the regulatory agency, they're allowing people to get electricity reductions automatically without even having to apply for it. And so that's ballooned to a staggering $170 million a year on electric bills. It's going to go up to over $250 million next year. So we're pulling that policy out of the budget. Also, things like electric vehicles, we would rather see that bonded. If we want to continue the pathway of having electric vehicle charging stations and encouraging the purchase of those vehicles, that's a policy that should be done statewide. People shouldn't be paying with it in their electric bill. So we do incorporate a lot of the proposals that were in that Senate bill.
We hear about state bonding. We hear about the next two-year state budget. Both involve taxpayer dollars. But is there a difference between them?
Yeah, I mean, it all involves, obviously, tax dollars. The governor doesn't like moving these programs off your electric bill, because then he says all the taxpayers have to pay for them. But these are programs that are impacting Connecticut as a whole. So to think we could hide them in an electric bill is dangerous, because, like I said, the commercial industry alone has seen a $500 million increase to electric bills throughout Connecticut. That has a significant impact on Connecticut's economic engine. And these policies are being put in place by bureaucrats. They're not being transparent and voted on by the General Assembly. So we're saying these things need to be vetted within the light of day, and they should be appropriately done through the process. Because I think if legislators had to look at these policies and actually vote on them, they would be concerned how generous they are. You know, we have plenty of residents on fixed incomes. How could they afford to pay somebody else's electric bill? Yet, in fact, that's what's happening. The PURA, the regulatory agency, has actually prohibited now the electric companies from collecting on debt. So they can't even attempt to collect a bad debt when somebody's not paying their bill. To me, that's crazy. We have to have that accountability in place. You can't operate a business without having a collection arm of that company. And effectively, that's what our agency has chopped off.
So do you think that Governor Lamont would support a plan now that there's been so much concern over electric bills, and also bipartisan agreement that it could be moved off bills put into bonding or the state budget? Would he support it, do you think?
He's really slow to the table. So he's really been pushing back on it. And I think we need to sit down and have a broader conversation to get him there. I'm hopeful that he will begin to realize how bad this is, because, you know, right now, whatever happens at the federal level, Connecticut over the last year has already seen a reduction in sales tax, actually going on 2 years in a row, and a reduction in the corporate income tax. So despite what happens at the federal level, Connecticut's already entering a very soft economy. And if these trends continue, it's going to exacerbate our budget issues. And I do think having the highest electric rates, one of the highest electric rates in the country, are impacting our business community.
We have a number of topics to discuss this morning. My guest on Face Connecticut is State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora. We're discussing the Republican $54.4 billion two-year spending plan that they've just recently unveiled. Schools, many districts are looking for more money. Obviously, the ones that get the most attention, Hartford, New Haven, they've been pushing for millions of dollars in increased funding. Now, interestingly, just last week, we had a little conversation with Democratic State Senator Kathy Austin, who told us that it's unlikely that they're going to be able to get more money out of the budget to try to help those districts and others. How do you respond to their requests, and also maybe some of your colleagues saying that they're at the limit?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things it's where Democrats and Republicans really differ, they've been putting a lot of money into higher education. So we're seeing in the Democrats' budget another $1 billion being shipped over to our higher ed system. And I think we're neglecting, you know, our secondary education, our elementary schools, where we really have to focus, because that's where the crisis is right now. We know one in five students are disconnected. We're seeing failing test scores across the board. You know, we could certainly blame COVID and anything else, but bottom line, we've got to prioritize it because these children, if they don't succeed at the elementary level, they're not going to be there for a higher education. So to put the money into higher ed, we believe is misplaced. We focus on putting more money into special education, but also changing the way we do things. There are private nonprofits out there that will go into the schools and work with these high-risk children, the children that are distractions in the classroom that teachers don't have the resources to work with. And we're putting funding in there. We invest over $380 million in those kind of programs where we could get that support in. They go into the homes. They work with the kids after school. And they help keep them accountable. They'll pick them up and drive them to school if needed. If they're truant, they go into the homes and find out why. And there are some communities out there, like in Stanford, Domus runs out of their school systems. They have an 87% success rate of having these children graduate from high school. So that's, I think, where we need to put our investment, and that's what we're trying to offer.
But do you think that there's a chance to find some common ground on the school funding issue?
Yeah, we're trying. I mean, they did advance a bill. They left language in to allow for these nonprofits to receive funding. I think where we differ and I get concerned with is growing bureaucracy. Creating more reports for teachers to fill out, creating more paperwork doesn't necessarily translate to higher achievement. And so we're trying to something a little different to say, let's stop worrying about filling out all this paperwork and just start focusing on the kids. And that's sort of what these nonprofit organizations do. And so I'm hoping that we could get that type of movement, you know, especially in the special ed world. We are seeing children that are being outplaced to different organizations. They have high success rates with that. And so let these communities come in and try to help our kids, where our school systems could sort of focus on the higher achieving kids and the kids that are able to work in a traditional classroom and provide different services for kids that need higher level, you know, outplacement. It seems to be a better success rate. Massachusetts is focused in that area, and it seems to be going well for them.
My name is Morgan Cunningham, if you're just joining us on Face Connecticut. Our guest this week is State House Republican leader Vin Candelora. We're discussing the Republican $54.4 billion two-year spending plan that they have put forth. The proposal freezes raises for state employees. Where would the savings go toward? How much money would that save? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, essentially what we've seen over the last 5 years is our state employees receive bonuses up to $3,500 apiece. They've gotten 33% wage increases over the last 5 years. And that's pretty significant. I don't think anybody in the private sector has seen that kind of wage growth for them. And so we're saying, look, we need to put the brakes on all the raises that we've been giving out to our state employees. So we would like to pause and do a wage freeze for 2 years to allow for us to sort of recover with the massive loss of federal COVID money, frankly. And we're seeing the adjustments being made at the local levels and at state levels, trying to bring themselves back into balance. They really have been the beneficiaries of a lot of federal COVID money that came in. The state prioritized them, increased a lot of their salaries. Now we're saying we need to prioritize our children. We need to prioritize the taxpayers, put a freeze in place, and allow us to continue to fund education services, to adjust Medicaid dollars, because those adjustments haven't been made. And we're seeing our healthcare systems, our hospitals going into crisis. We need to stop that bleeding, no pun intended, and begin to reform healthcare and make it stronger again.
State House Speaker Matt Ritter has said that he's not really a fan of the wage freeze plan, citing past negotiations with the unions. Can they be frozen?
They can. There's legal precedent for it. You know, it's been done. I think this is where the two parties differ. The Democrats are very pro-state union. They want to take care of their workers at all costs, and we're saying we need to prioritize. We can't start dismantling the guardrails that we put in place that have kept Connecticut in a sound fiscal position. Like I said, we're seeing an erosion already. So the Democrats want to invade the volatility cap to fund some of these programs. But that money, it's already projected our revenues are going to be dropping upward of a few hundred million dollars next year. So right now with the new adjustment, these budgets are all out of whack already because we're already seeing a decline in revenues. So we're saying we've got to tighten the belt. We think it's fair to tighten the belt with our state workers first because of the significant raises they've been getting. And let's put the focus into healthcare and education, which has really fallen into crisis.
I'd like to shift the conversation, and this will probably take a little while, to talk about what's going on down in Washington and what impact that might have here in Connecticut. Senate and House Democrats have been sounding alarm really since January over what could happen in the state budget. Talks about, do we declare some kind of a fiscal emergency in Connecticut? Speaker Ritter just the other day said that the budget will be ready for federal cuts when it is said and done, when the state passes the budget. Where do Republicans generally in Connecticut stand on the issue of the state trying to cover any federal gaps?
Yeah. So our guardrails have provided mechanisms for emergencies. We already have a rainy day fund of over $4 billion that accounts for any shortfalls potentially. So I think we're in a very safe position to be able to absorb any federal cuts. In addition, we're required to have a revenue cap, which is essentially a contingency fund that is budgeted each year, which amounts to over $300 million roughly. It's 1.25% of our revenues. So those two cushions allow for us to be able to absorb cuts that back we didn't have before. 20 years ago, we had a zero balance in our rainy day fund, and when a deficit hit, we had nowhere to go. Connecticut is in a very different place. I'm concerned that the Democrats are sounding the alarm just so they could dismantle these sound fiscal policies so they could spend more and spend beyond what we're technically allowed to spend under these caps. They continue to sound the alarm that there are federal cuts, run to the podium, and each and every time we find out there have been no cuts. The general public would be surprised to hear that as of today, we've only received about $3 million of cuts to our Connecticut Food Share program. When you have a $4 billion contingency, it's easy to absorb $3 million. And in fact, the Republican budget absorbs that cut, and we fund that program in our own budget. So, they complain oil assistance is being cut. That was $8 million. Lo and behold, that money was not cut. It flowed through. Medicaid, yes, there could be some reductions. On the high side, we're looking at $800 million. You know, on the low side, it could be $200 million. But in either situation, we have that rainy day fund to be able to absorb those cuts. You know, I'm concerned that they're not going to adjust Medicaid rates and increase them so that we could make sure that we don't see any more bankruptcies in our hospitals. That's the conversation that we should be having.
The spending cap, spending more to cover federal losses, I see that as related. And in recent months, Governor Lamont, when asked about it, he has generally sided with Republicans in the idea of not wanting to exceed the state's spending guardrails and go above the cap. Yet Democrats have been trying to talk with him at the very least to get him to consider spending extra. And the budget that Democrats did pass out of the Appropriations Committee is over the spending cap. Where do you think the governor is going to lie at the end of the day with these issues?
Well, I hope he stays firm, because the spending cap is really put in place to make sure that government doesn't grow too quickly. Because when it grows too quickly, you either fall into deficit or you have to raise taxes. Nothing good comes from that. And with the inflation that we saw over the last couple of years, that has actually created a lot of room to spend in our budget. So we have an additional $1 billion to spend next year because of inflation. So our spending cap has created plenty of room. It's not as if we have 1% growth in the spending cap. It's significant. I think it's upward of 5% growth. So to suggest now that we need to go above and beyond the $1 billion is really disconcerting, and it's a matter of prioritization. We can't do everything for everybody. And so we need to prioritize what programs that we are going to spend. And Democrats just haven't demonstrated a willingness to prioritize anything. And so when you don't do that, you end up with a lot of half-baked ideas and nothing gets fixed. And we're saying, let's focus on the issues that we know are in crisis, like education and healthcare, and let's continue to fix those areas, and we can build out of these problems.
Kind of walk me through or give me an idea. If you were to sit down today with Governor Lamont or somebody from his staff, and you're aware that Democrats are perhaps pressuring him toward considering spending a little bit more than what the cap allows, what are some things that you might try to say to him or talk with his team about to get him to side with your caucus?
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I think the governor shares our concern when you look at the landscape of our economy. We have seen sales tax decline over the last 2 years. Now, it's a little bit concerning because when there's inflation, prices go up, sales taxes should go up. But in fact, in Connecticut, despite the inflation, we're seeing sales taxes go down. So that suggests that we are even in worse condition from an economic standpoint for retail, restaurants, consumable goods, and that should give us pause. The other area that gives me a lot of pause, and what I would tell the governor, is that our corporate surcharge tax is down. These are our large corporations that employ a lot of people throughout the state of Connecticut. They are paying less income taxes. And that also suggests that they're seeing an economic turn down. So the fact now that you have $1 billion of more money that you could spend, but you don't have the money to spend it because it's just not coming in quick enough. That's a problem, and that's why we should pause and not be blowing through the spending cap. The Democrats are blowing through the spending cap, and then they're also raising taxes. They want to put a capital gains tax on individuals, which I'd be concerned is only going to make our economy even worse, and they want to raise a lot of other taxes in different areas, eliminating, for instance, the film tax credit for small businesses. Those sort of are economic engines. 90% of the state of Connecticut is made up of small businesses. So the lack of prioritizing and the hyper spending that we're seeing is only going to make things worse for Connecticut. And that's why I think these caps have provided a balance for us to not go too far in one direction or another. And I think the governor shares that concern. And I'm hopeful that he will stand with Republicans on this.
Do you think that there's some kind of a power struggle going on within the Democrats? It seems the State House Speaker and the governor might not be on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, the governor threw up the white flag when he did his budget to say, I'm willing to adjust the volatility cap and take some money there. We thought that was a mistake to start out that way because, you know, if you give an inch, they take a mile. But what we're seeing in the Democrat Party is really a fracture of a lot of different philosophies. You know, they have a large caucus. There's two-thirds Democrats in the legislature and one third of Republicans. And what I have found is we do have some moderate Democrats. We have very progressive Democrats. And we have, our urban Democrats, and all their needs are very different. And there are a lot of clashing of issues. So, you know, when it comes to electric rates, there are Democrats that want to continue to see those charges in people's electric bills because they believe in all of the solar and wind and lowering carbon emissions at all costs. You know, they're willing to pay that money, even if it's unaffordable for people. And then you do have individuals that feel we should raise income taxes because our wealthy, you know, should be paying more. And so there's a lot of philosophical differences within their party. Republicans are pretty unified and on our position, and we've kind of stayed true to that mission. We end up kind of being the largest caucus in the building because the 50 of us in the House have taken that single position, and we align with some Democrats who want to join us. And I'm hoping that the governor could find a path by utilizing us in order to get there. I'm not optimistic based on their reactions yesterday to our budget. Democrats would rather go alone because then they're able to break through all these guardrails and spend as much as they want.
State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora, we're running out of time. And so my final question for you, somehow these three budgets have to merge together into one final thing. How are these negotiations going to look in the next 4 weeks?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're really slow this year. We've been in session very little. Not a lot of bills have passed. And I'm not sure where it's going because there are so many moving parts. We have not been invited in for budget talks. So right now, it doesn't seem like the governor is taking what Democrats want to serve up. So, you know, unless Republicans are put into the room, it very well could end up being a bit of a stalemate. We may see a budget that Democrats propose that the governor wants to veto. So I think it's going to be a very lively next, you know, 4 weeks.
Well, we'll be paying attention, and I look forward to following up with you.
Thank you.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.